First reading is Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19, which can be found on page 22 of the Church Pew Bibles. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father."
"Yes, my son," Abraham replied.
"The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thickets he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mark chapter 1, beginning at the 9th verse. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, would we build our lives upon your word, that though the rains fall and the waters rise, we would stand. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what you would say the most difficult, the hardest, the most challenging moment in your life so far has been. Perhaps picking out one is difficult, perhaps there are several. I think almost certainly Abraham would say to us that the most difficult, the most challenging, the hardest moment in his life was the moment we heard a few moments ago read to us about from Genesis chapter 22. But beside being the hardest and most difficult moment, I'm sure he would also say that it was his greatest moment. The moment when, under unimaginable pressure and strain, in the midst of almost infinite emotional turmoil and personal anxiety, Abraham's faith in God held. It held, and he trusted God. And he obeyed him. Obedience to God, of course, is the fruit of trust in him. We will only do what God asks us to do if we know who God is and believe that he is for us, that he is reliable, that he is the one in whom we can put our confidence. And Abraham, under the highest pressure, believes that of God. He believes of him that he is reliable, that he is for him, that his promises to him can be trusted. It's an act of faith unequaled in Scripture outside of the life of Christ. I'll justify that statement, I think, by pulling out some of the details of what happens as we go along. We know Abraham. We've been looking at his life over the last few weeks. We've seen him to be very human. He's had ups and he's had downs. He's had great successes of faith, but he's also had challenges and failures at almost every turn. He's a human. He's just like us. And yet, in Genesis chapter 22, God brings him into a mighty faith. A mighty faith. And then shows that such a mighty faith in him is completely justified. We're going to look at the passage under three headings, and those headings are these: maximum pressure, mighty faith, and miraculous provision. Maximum pressure, mighty faith, miraculous provision. So firstly, maximum pressure. There's something we need to notice from the text right up front in the first half of verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Right up front, the author wants us to know that this is a test. It's a test. There is no risk to Isaac in this situation. God is not up for fathers sacrificing their children. In fact, later on in history, in his country, Israel, there will be specific laws forbidding that. Isaac is in no danger here. This is a test. Knowing that is a privilege that we have as readers of these events. But it's not a privilege that Abraham had. Abraham did not know that. For Abraham, this is real. It's dangerously real. This is live ammunition. And it's Abraham's head, Abraham's feelings, Abraham's consciousness that we need to get inside as we go through this passage. And look at just how much pressure God puts him under. I've got a kind of ratcheting strap here. As you know, you use this to kind of cinch down loads on the back of a van or in your shed or something like that. And you pull it and then you click it. And every time it clicks, the tension gets tighter. And the load is under more pressure. And I want us to notice as we go through these first few verses just how much pressure God puts Abraham under. Watch for the clicks. God said to Abraham, "Here I am." God said to Abraham, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son." Abraham, in fact, had two sons. in the previous chapter, God had told him to send one of them away. So now Abraham has only one son. Take your son, your only son, Isaac. Isaac was the name his mother had given him because of the joy and the laughter he brought into her life. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. We've been looking through the life of Abraham. We've seen the challenges to his faith, the things that have made it difficult for him to believe in the promises that God has made to him. Those things, those challenges, have included famine, disease, labor disputes, murderers, wife snatchers, enemies, armies, evil kings, even angels. But now the person standing against him, the person standing between him and trusting in God's promises is who? God himself. On every other occasion, it had been something in the world that had made trusting God hard. Now it is God who is making trusting God hard. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Did you notice the journey? God doesn't just tell Abraham, okay, go now and sacrifice your son. He takes him on a three-day journey. Can you imagine? Step by slow step along the road, knowing where you are going, knowing what you are going to do. Having that horrible secret. He's with people. He's with his servants. His son is there. Not being able to breathe a word of this awful, awful thing to them. Can you imagine the nights? I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes in the middle of the night, in the darkness, when we're all alone and there's nothing to distract us, can be the hardest time to trust God. Can be the hardest time to hold on to his promises. Can you imagine those three nights for Abraham, perhaps lying on the ground beside the campfire, his son mere meters away, knowing what he knows, unable to sleep, living with the brutal reality of what God has asked him to do. 3 days and nights. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. What a heartbreaking conversation. Can you imagine Abraham and Isaac walking up the mountain together? And Isaac is a smart guy. And he realizes that they do not have everything they need to make a sacrifice. And he asks his father about it. And Abraham, knowing what he knows, comforts his son and says, don't worry, it'll be okay. God will sort it out. Maximum pressure. Secondly, mighty faith. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham's life has been a life about trusting God and trusting God's promises to him. A life about faith. And that faith has a foundation. The foundation has always been who God is and his trustworthiness. He's a faithful and unchanging God. No word of God can fail. This is what Abraham in his finer moments has known. And you can imagine him on those 3 days of journey and those 3 nights walking up the side of the mountain with his son, reciting to himself through tears again and again and again the promise that God has made to him just one chapter before. It is through Isaac that your offspring shall be reckoned. God's made him this promise. All of God's promises to him hinged on this son, on Isaac. He was the one through whom the nation would come. He was the one through whom the blessing would come. And you can imagine him saying to himself over and over again, it is through Isaac that your offspring shall be reckoned. It is through Isaac that your offspring shall be reckoned. It is through Isaac that your offspring shall be reckoned. He has no idea how that's possible. He has no idea how that can be true, given what God has asked him to do. And yet he clings to it. He holds on to it. It is through Isaac that your offspring shall be reckoned, holding on to that impossible promise of God. And that clinging, that faith, bears fruit in obedience. He's ready to go through with it. His hand is on the knife. He's reaching out his arm towards his son. Miraculous provision. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham was ready to go through with it, and God stopped him. And God says, now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you trust me. Now I know that the most precious thing to you, the most important person to you, is me. Of course he knew that already, but now it has been shown. Now it has been demonstrated. Now it has been made known to you, Abraham, and to the world. You fear me. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. God doesn't call off the sacrifice. Instead, he provides. He provides a substitute. The ram dies. Isaac goes free. And Abraham's faith in God, his trust in him, even in the impossible circumstance that God presented him with, is justified. God makes a way. And Abraham calls the place Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. Earlier on, I said that I think this is the greatest act of faith in Scripture outside of the life of Christ himself. And it is. No one else anywhere in Scripture is asked by God to do anything even remotely like this. But we do also need to turn our minds to that other life, to that other time. Scripture tells us that 1900 years later, on this very same mountain, another man walks, not accompanied by his father, but alone, carrying, like Isaac, the wood on which he would die. His was a greater act of faith. He knew what Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide, meant for him. He knew that when he reached the top of the mountain, there would be no substitute for him. For he himself was the substitute. He himself was the provision that God was making. And knowing even that, Jesus Christ trusted God and obeyed him and walked up the mountain. So we here today can say, not Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide, but Yahweh Yara, the Lord has provided. That's why our foundation for faith is stronger even than Abraham's. Not because the Lord has become more reliable or more trustworthy, as if that were possible, but rather because his provision has now come. God gave his son, his only son, Jesus, who he loved, to save Abraham's son, to save Isaac, to save me, and to save you, to save anyone who, like Abraham, trusts in him. Someone once said, God is the one whom there is no safety from, only safety in. Will we trust him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how firm a foundation you have laid for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would we follow his example? Would we follow Abraham's example? Would we follow the example of so many who have gone before us and trust you? This we plead in Jesus' name. Amen.